Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham coming to you from Whitman, Massachusetts. We had a little bit of audio trouble and so forth, but we're trying to get that back up and running right now. So anyways, good evening. Welcome to Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham from Whitman, Massachusetts, and tonight we're going to continue on part three of our message series. It's time to get fruity, the Fruit of the Spirit series. So anyways, before I go any further, let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that everything will go well tonight, Lord God. Lord, right now we're having a little difficulty, but Lord, we know that there's nothing too difficult for you, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that you have your way with the show tonight, Father, and we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, Father. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's do our theme song. Hopefully that will work. Wow, we are having audio. So, like I said, we do apologize for everything. So, anyways, we're going to get right into the sermon tonight. All right, this is just what the enemy is just trying to do. Tonight we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit tonight. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And it's verses 22 and 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. In 1871, the city of Chicago was nearly destroyed by fire, known as the Great Chicago Fire. Over 300 people died from the flames, and approximately 100,000 were left homeless. One of the heroes in the aftermath was Horatio Gates Spafford. Spafford, who was an attorney, had lost a great deal of real estate in the fire. Despite such great personal financial loss, and then combined with the untimely death of his son during the same time period, Spafford for around 2 years unselfishly helped to assist the needs of the homeless, impoverished and grief-stricken by the fire. Such merciful and kind acts as these to his fellow men just helped to strengthen the testimony as to who Horatio G. Spafford was known throughout Chicago as a sincere, devout Christian. After about 2 years of such work, in November 1873, Spafford and his family decided to take a vacation. Because Spafford was a loyal friend and supporter of Dwight L. Moody, he and his family decided that they would meet up with Moody and Ira Sankey on one of their evangelistic campaigns in England, and then from there, the Spaffords planned on traveling on to Europe. Just as the Spaffords were preparing to leave, Horatio was unexpectedly detained by urgent business concerns in Chicago. The decision was made that his wife, Anna, and their daughters, Anna, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanetta, would continue on as scheduled to England. Once after Spafford had resolved the business concern, he would then catch up with them on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. The ship, the SS Val du Havre, which his wife and daughters were traveling on, never reached England. Off Newfoundland, the ship collided with an English sailing vessel, the Loch Earn. The ship sank rapidly, approximately within 20 minutes after it was struck. Mrs. Spafford was only one of the 47 to survive. Tragically, all four of their daughters were part of the 226 who perished in the aftermath. Anna Spafford's heartbreaking telegram to her husband simply read, "Saved alone." Horatio immediately set sail for England to join his grief-stricken wife. As the ship that he was traveling on passed the approximate location where his daughters had drowned, it is reported that due to his deep sorrow, mingled with his unwavering faith in God's goodness, that he penned the words of his now famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." I have the audio up for the song. Hopefully we have no problems, but we'll try to give it a go. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the audio of that. That I was just talking to you about, talking to you guys about, and probably very few of us will ever face such depth of tragedy like Horatio Spafford, who wrote that beautiful hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." However, if we live long enough, some type of tragedy will find its way into our lives. For some, it will be the death of a loved one, such as a child, parent, or our spouse. To others of us, tragedy may strike with a heart attack, cancer, or some other major disabling disease. There can be divorces, financial ruin, or loss of close friends and associates. Sometimes the tragedies are not even personal. Who will ever forget the senselessness of 9/11 or the explosion of the space shuttle Columbia or the Boston Marathon bombing? Tragedy comes up. All non-Christian and Christian alike, no matter the circumstance in life. So calamity will come. How do you face them? Do you become anxious? Or do you face them with calm, knowing that that too will pass? What is that calmness in a Christian? It is a peace that passes all understanding. And that's the third fruit of the Spirit, peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The objective is to have that aspect of the Holy Spirit's fruit called peace manifested in our lives, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, no matter the circumstance. And the purpose is by examining the aspect of the Spirit's fruit called peace and then applying it towards our daily living, towards God, ourselves, and with others. And the definition of peace in the Greek, irony, means harmonious relationships between men, between God and man. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary, "Peace is the gift of Christ," in John 14:27, and includes inward repose, Philippians 4:6, and harmonious relations with others, contrast in Galatians 5:15-20. And right now I want to talk about peace with God. We must have a harmonious relationship with God. It is no secret man has reproached God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God." In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." In 1 Corinthians, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate perversion, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." We need to realize that no matter what we do, who we know, what we have, or where we go, nothing in ourselves will ever remove our reproach before God. For all of our righteousness before him is unclean, which we see in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Oh, may we realize that God is holy. Christ has reconciled us to God. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 16 through 19, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ and reconciled in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar away and peace to those who were near, for through him, we both Jew and Greek have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Nothing can come between us and our Savior." God is so satisfied with Christ's finished work, he has truly cast our sins from his sight as far as the east is from the west, which we see in Psalm 103, verse 12. Praise God for such mercy. Therefore, we have peace, harmonious relations with God. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, so I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And in Isaiah 1:18 it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And in Hebrews 10:19 it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Lasting peace is found in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Come near to God to find peace. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. And number two, we need to have peace with ourselves. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, it says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. In Romans 8, verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A harmonious relationship with God, it is no secret that man has reproached God. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of God. In Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate perversion, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. We need to realize that no matter what we do, who we know, what we have, or where we go, nothing in ourselves will ever remove our reproach before God, for all of our righteousness before him is unclean, which we see in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Oh, may we realize God is holy. And Christ has reconciled us to God. In Colossians 1, 19 and 20, it says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, his beloved Son, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him. I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. In Ephesians 2, 13, 16, and 19, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ and reconciled in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we, both Jew and Greek, have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. And like I said, nothing can come between us and our Savior. God is so satisfied with Christ's finished work, he has truly cast our sins from his sight, as far as the east is from the west. And praise God for such mercy. Therefore, we have peace, harmonious peace with God. Amen. Glory be to God. Like I said, we have to have peace within ourselves. Beloved, if our, in 1 John 3, 21-22, it says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And in Romans 8, 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is your daily life about? Rejoicing always? Praying without ceasing? Thanksgiving in everything? Trusting God in Christ Jesus? If you want to have peace with yourself, love God. First Thessalonians 5:13, it says, live in peace with one another. And in Hebrews 12:14, it says, sue peace with all men. in Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Oh, how one should be alarmed at being a sinner in the hands of an angry God. I realize that we cannot make everyone happy if we live a Christian witness before this world. They will not be pleased with us. And John 3:19 says, men love darkness rather than the light. In more places around the globe, Christianity is being denied freedom to be practiced, and slowly but surely our religious freedoms as well in this country are being eradicated. It is becoming harder and harder to confess Christ openly, but rejoice, my friends, because there in lies your peace. If they persecuted our Lord, they will persecute you also, which it says in John 15:20. And in John 16:33, it says, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. And in closing, oh, what hinders you today from having peace with God? The world strives for peace among the nations or their neighbors and friends. But truly listen, this is but only a temporary peace. It will last but a short time and then fade away. I urge you to look, yes, look today towards the eternal Prince of Peace. Run to him and cry for mercy. He was crucified for sinners, buried for sinners, and raised for sinners. You and I can have peace today. Have peace today, my friend. And in Job 22:21 says, acquaint yourself with Jesus and be at peace. And if you want to be at peace with the Lord, just say this prayer and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. And next week, we're going to be talking about patience. But in closing, we're going to close out the show with this song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and Let It Begin with Me. I pray each of you have a blessed week, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
And let it begin with me.
Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be.
With every step I take. moment and live.